That's great. Thanks very much for that update, Peter. It's now my pleasure to introduce Jenny Raitt. Jenny is a qualified and experienced early childhood education teacher with training and understanding in the area of child development and early years education. With CVAT, School Support Services, Jenny provides support and structure for the school chaplains for whom CVAT is the registered funding provider. This includes liaising between the school, chaplains, CVAT, local churches, and arranging training and input for the chaplains, providing support, advice, and a listening ear, and promoting the importance of chaplaincy in schools and local communities. So it's now my pleasure to hand it over to Jenny, who's going to lead us through the testimonies of the chaplains this morning. Thank you, Jenny.
Thanks, Elisa. It is lovely to be with you this morning. We are so, so disappointed that all the chaplains couldn't be here in person to meet with you and be able to chat after the service and catch up with their personal stories. But they have been as adaptable and flexible as we all need to be in this current situation. And they've provided a little video clip with a story about how they're going in their schools. Now, we've been coming to Ringwood for several years now, and unfortunately we couldn't do it last year because of lockdown as well. But I just wanted to let you know about a couple of changes that have happened. So last year, the government who distributes the funding for chaplaincy decided to open again the opportunity for schools to apply to be funded, and the three schools that we have connected with Ringwood this year all gained their funding, some of them back for the first time. So that was really exciting for us and has made the chaplaincy program much more viable at these three schools. So when we show these videos, you'll see two chaplains who are at Ringwood Secondary College, Adam, who has been there for many years now and does an amazing job, and we have a new chaplain there this year named Jenny, and she has just started in May. She comes from a really experienced educational background and is already bringing a lot of that skill into the role there. We also have Glenys, who is at Eastwood Primary. She's been there for several years now doing an amazing job in that school. And one of your very local schools, Mullum Primary, received their funding back, so we're able to engage Marg there, and the school is really, really appreciating being able to re-engage a chaplaincy program there. So we're now going to play their four testimonies to you, and then I'll come back after that.
Hello, Ringwood Community Church. I'm coming to you from my backyard in Croydon South here, and unfortunately I'm not with you today. It's been tough, hasn't it? Multiple lockdowns and challenges that we've all faced. And it's funny, I sort of like being at home with my family, really enjoy it, but it's been difficult coming in and out of these lockdowns. And I guess we've noticed that in our school communities with young people, they are really struggling. When they come back to school, they get quite anxious. We've had students who come back to school and then they don't like the loud noises in the classrooms. We've had students who haven't been able to make it back at all to school. It's been really difficult in our school communities, and just even with staff, quite anxious as well, trying to balance teaching remotely and then teaching on campus. So there's been many challenges that we've faced in this space in our communities, which has been quite challenging. But there is hope amongst it all, and I'm really trying to find that hope myself. You know, we're getting into a bit of a good rhythm, and then all of a sudden we hear of these new case numbers and whatever else, but I've just got to remind myself who's in control. And I guess that's, for me, has been a real challenge, and something I always challenge with my life is control. And with this virus, I don't have control over it. I can't control it, and I can't control some of the freedoms that are taken away from me either, but I can trust. I can take control, and that is to trust that God is in control, and that I don't need to be, and I just push into Him. And that's what I've been doing. And one story which I guess resonates for me, which I saw just the other day, I was running an esports program at school, and with 30 crazy kids in the classroom just going nuts playing computer games, having a blast. And I saw two students, well, it was actually three students, but two of the students who I'd usually see together and one that I wouldn't usually see with this crowd. And the one that you wouldn't usually see with this crowd was a young man who is autistic, really struggled to carry conversation with him, socially awkward, and doesn't really have any friends. I don't think he could name some friends. But I saw these two students sitting down with this young man, engaging with him and encouraging him. And one of the students who had gone out of their way to support and connect with this young person, she's a young girl who struggles in her faith. And I had to send my friend a message to say that don't deny or don't second guess where God is, because what I saw was a beautiful picture of a God who sits with those that the others reject, a God that sits alongside people that are shunned by others. And so I was able to encourage my mate that his daughter, even though she doesn't believe in God, that maybe God is not as far as she thinks, and that what she was doing was essentially a representation of the God that we serve, and that is a God that looks after those that are vulnerable and reaches out to those that are lost. And so for me, I guess that was a real encouragement in my community that God is with us and God doesn't forget, and that God is always there to protect us. So whatever the next little while looks like for you guys, and you know, obviously we're a church online again, and I hope you guys can take some real heart in that God is with you. God never leaves us, and he sits down with us, he sits beside us, and in our pain and in our frustration and in our hopelessness, he is there comforting us. So all the best, Ringwood Church. And we hope that we get to see you guys again soon, and that we can come and meet and eat some of your beautiful after church food, which is, we always enjoy. So, yeah, thanks for having us.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be able to share with you this morning via technology, but I'm sorry we can't be together physically. Allow me to introduce myself and to tell you a little bit about my story. I'm Jenny Farmelow, and I started working as a part-time chaplain at Ringwood Secondary College on the 3rd of May this year. For all of my career, I've been in education, and for the last 15 years, I've been the deputy principal of a school. So as you can see, I've entered a new season of life this year and combined my chaplaincy work with part-time studies in chaplaincy and pastoral care. A little bit about me. I was brought up in a Christian family, and my childhood was very busy with Sunday school, girls' brigade, Christian endeavour, and this was followed by a very natural progression into youth group and involvement in church life. Both my husband and I are members of New Community Ringwood. I believe that as a Christian chaplain, I am not called to care for persons, and in my case, mainly secondary students, by solving all their problems, but that I am called to communicate, even in the most difficult circumstances, that a person is more than the problem he or she presents. I may contribute to the solution of the person's problems, and I hope I do, but the pastoral care offered is not the guidance given, but I believe it is the relationship provided. I believe that as a chaplain in a state school, I hold a very privileged position to have the ministry of presence with young people who are truly searching for care and acceptance. And I believe that our care of each other is based in God's care for us. In closing, I would like to thank Jenny for her ongoing support and to say what a privilege it is to work with Adam at Ringwood Secondary College. These are difficult times for all of us, and to know that people care and support each of us in all our varied roles is us all being the hands and feet of Christ.
Hi, I'm Glenys Essen. I'm the chaplain at Eastwood Primary School. This is my fifth year there, and I must admit, the last 18 months have been some of the most challenging times to be a chaplain. I would like to tell you about some of my success stories. I started working with a little girl in grade 3 who had major friendship issues. There seemed to be every other week a situation where she would come to me and say, "This has happened, I don't know what to do." We worked on and built up her resilience, concentrating on always being kind. Over the next couple of years, we kept working on these issues, but when lockdown started, the friendships again started becoming problematic for her. This year she came to me and she said, "It's happening all again. I don't know what to do." We talked through the options that she had and the ways that she could handle it. Not only is this year challenging for her as she's in grade 6 and lockdown again and again, but also she's going to a different high school to most of her friends. We talked about the different ways that she could go forward, and at the end of the day, she said to me, "Thank you, I feel really confident that I can handle this on my own." That night, I got an email from her mum. She said to me, "Thank you for all that you do for her. She is more confident and more capable than her mother thought possible." Her mother said she had learnt from some of the strategies that I gave her daughter to apply them to her own life. That's a fantastic outcome. She's really hopeful, looking forward to next year, and confident that she will be able to handle friendship issues as she goes into high school. One of the other little girls I'd like to talk to you about, I also started seeing in grade 3. She's now in grade 6. She has huge emotions. She doesn't cope well when things get out of her control. This year, not only has she had lockdowns, but her mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. She finds being kind to people when she is upset a real challenge. She can say some very mean things. We've been working on how to control your emotions. Her mum rang me the other day and said she can't believe the difference in her daughter. She comes home and she says, "No, I can't say that. I need to be kind. No, I can't say that. I'm letting my emotions rule me." Her mother said, during this difficult time for her as she's going through chemotherapy, her daughter has been a real support. And she knows that that comes from the work that I have been doing with her daughter. I find being a chaplain a real privilege where I can make a difference in kids' lives. I want to thank you for all your support and thank you that you continually pray for me. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm sorry that it's not in person. My name is Margaret, and I'm presently the chaplain 2 days a week at Mullum Primary School. I'm really passionate about chaplaincy, and I absolutely love my job. The beginning of my day starts with standing at the back gate with the assistant principal, and we greet the students as they come in each morning. You can tell by their attitude if they're feeling good, if they might be feeling a bit sad on the day. From then, the day opens to a variety of activities. I might do some stillness time and reflection time in classrooms, but mainly I do see the students one-to-one. One of my stories is about a young girl in grade 3. She comes from a pretty tough background and she's very shy and her self-esteem is very low. But over the weeks, she's gradually gained more confidence and is beginning to smile and laugh as we spend time together. But I can't take the credit for that. I really need to give credit to my right-hand man. This is Sam. Sam is a puppet that I bought over 12 years ago when I was at a camp at Eastwood Primary School where I used to work as a chaplain also. Sam was in a shop where they did a display of puppets and I was immediately drawn to him. The children love talking to Sam, don't they, Sam? Often they'll walk past me in the school ground and they won't even acknowledge me. They'll just talk to Sam. Very blessed to have him in my life. One last story before I finish is many years ago, over 20 years ago, our family used to have foster children in our home. One of the young men who was with us for 3 years is now an A-grade electrician and he's married and has 3 beautiful children. His eldest daughter started in prep this year and you won't believe it was at Mullum Primary School. Thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. It's really appreciated And I look forward to meeting with you all again in the near future. Take care and bless you.
Well, you can see that each of our chaplains brings a very different personality and skill set to their role. And we just believe that God has placed each of them in their role to reach their particular school community. And we are so thankful for the quality of chaplain that we have in our movement. I want to have a little chat to you now. I've called this message Defining Moments. And this COVID-19 has brought challenges and situations that we could never have imagined. I don't think many of us even knew what Zoom was before the beginning of last year. And you know, there's a research company here in Australia called McCrindle that does a lot of social research, and they have done a lot of investigation into the COVID-19 pandemic and how it's affected people and the types of things that we can see it impacting in our future. And so they looked at the responses to the pandemic, and particularly in relation to different age groups and how different demographics were coping and responding to this challenge. And the generational thing is very important, because every generation has a defining moment that impacts them. It's things like world wars, the moon landing that opened us up to a whole wider thought pattern than perhaps had been there before, the stock market crash, and then of course 9/11 that brought a new fear to the whole world about terrorism. But the current generation, their defining moment will be the COVID-19 pandemic. And the research shows that this current generation of young people is more likely to feel anxious and extremely impacted by COVID-19 than older generations. It's about 50% as compared to 20% in the older age group, although everybody's lifestyle has been adversely affected in some way. And the research also asked about positive aspects of the lockdown and the types of things that we're experiencing. And people did list things like more family time, pursuing new interests or hobbies, less travel to work, time to try things like cooking or getting more exercise. So there were some positive outcomes. And though a defining moment will impact us right now in the here and now, it also has ongoing implications for our future. And the attitudes and responses that we develop now will influence whether this becomes a positive or a negative outcome for us. If you're older, like me, and you've experienced previous defining moments, you might be able to look back with hindsight now and see that there were positive outcomes, even though the experience might have been difficult at the time. I think of my parents. They were raised in the Depression, and that would certainly not have been an easy thing to go through. But I look back now and I think, they've learned not to be wasteful, nothing gets wasted, and they've developed a really strong work ethic, and they're definitely not materialistic. And so even though they would have struggled at the time, I think these positive things have come out of that difficult experience. So how will we respond to this current defining moment, COVID-19, in our society and in our personal life? And how can we use this as a productive and positive thing? Will we respond with fear or with faith? I'm sure we will all say that we would want to respond with faith. So how do we overcome the fear? One of the important things, and it's already been alluded to in what Alyssa has said and in what the chaplains have said, and I love how God's Spirit works behind the scenes to draw all these things together, is that we need to get to know our God, to know that he is with us and to know that he has the power to be with us and to help us through these situations. Many, many years ago, I did some theological study, and one of the subjects that really impacted me was studying the characteristics of God. It was absolutely life-changing to learn about the enormity of God's character and all the attributes that he has and brings to us. But the two I want to focus on today are his goodness and his sovereignty. So when we understand the absolute goodness of God, that he doesn't just do good things, but he is good, we can trust him in every circumstance. You know, Satan has tried to discredit the goodness of God since the beginning of time. Remember back in the Garden of Eden when Satan came and talked to Eve and asked her about that tree that they were not supposed to eat from? And she explained God's regulations. And Satan says, did God really say? And so he puts into her mind a question about whether God's withholding something from her and gets her to question and doubt his goodness. And Satan still uses this ruse today. He puts doubts into people's minds about God's standards and God's truth. And we wonder, is God withholding something that could bring us pleasure? But when we know and trust in God's goodness, we can step out in faith, knowing that he does have our best in mind and he will guide us in the right path for our lives, and that will bring us true joy and fulfillment. Psalm 100 verse 5 tells us, "For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." So this characteristic is complemented by God's sovereignty, which means having supreme power and authority. God is ultimately in control of everything that happens through his wisdom and power. Here's a couple of verses. Jeremiah states, "O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you." And God says of himself in Isaiah, "I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, and what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please." So this is a comforting thing for us to know that God is in control. And I think sometimes we can acknowledge God's sovereignty and control in the big things and events, things like keeping the universe in place, guiding the course of nations, holding the whole world in his hands, but know that he is also there in the small things, the seemingly insignificant decisions and experiences. Nothing escapes his notice or his intervention. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives." So the balance between these two attributes of God is significant. He is able to be absolutely good and gracious whilst maintaining control and dominion and bringing about his purposes. He is utterly trustworthy, and we can confidently step out in faith as he leads us, knowing that he is sovereign and good. And understanding and applying this knowledge of God's character will impact our response to these defining moments. Of course, throughout our lives, there will be many pivotal decisions and defining moments. The most important decision that we ever make, of course, is to follow Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. New perspectives, new values, new focus, new faith, a whole new life." This is a very pivotal decision that does a whole 180 turn in the way that we live. But once we've experienced that defining moment, the presence of Jesus in our lives will influence how we respond to other life-changing moments, both big and small, ahead. Each experience and decision now has a spiritual component, and our faith influences our response rather than fear. In the Bible, we read the story of Esther, and you might know this story in the Old Testament, where she was taken into captivity and put into the king's harem and then finds favour with the king and becomes his queen. And she hears that the people of Israel, there's been a plot against them and they are in dire circumstances. And her uncle comes to her and says, "Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this." You know, when Esther expresses her response, she acknowledges that fear response that's there, because she says, "And then though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die." So she's honest about the fear that could be there, but she responds in faith. And even though going to the king without an invitation has potentially fatal consequences, she makes that step of faith. And you'll know the outcome of the story, that the king accepts her presence and she's able to turn around the decision and save her people. A very pivotal moment in the history of the world and God's people, Israel. But she didn't do it alone. She rallied her people for prayer support. She got them to pray and to fast on her behalf. And isn't that a really important thing to do when we have a big pivotal decision to make? And that's why we would request your prayer support for our chaplains as they face difficult decisions and challenges day by day. Another important defining moment in our life centres around our calling or the type of career that we will choose. And there may be many of these throughout our lifetime. You know, if you're older like me, you often just sort of chose a career and stayed in it for most of your life. But research shows us that 5 to 7 is the average number of changing careers for a person these days. So this is an ongoing defining moment in many people's lives. And our workplace and our role becomes a God-given privilege and an opportunity to represent Jesus with our co-workers and clients and to demonstrate his character and care. Chaplains follow the call of God to minister to their school communities and to manifest the love and light of Jesus. This has been particularly challenging in this time of remote learning, as all the chaplains alluded to in their videos. And there are many new or heightened needs in the area of wellbeing and support for students and families. But conversely, there have also been positives because it's provided opportunities for developing creative solutions to staying connected. And after some initial responses of uncertainty and confusion and how do we even do chaplaincy in this space, the chaplains responded with faith and dedication, and they have had some amazing outcomes of connecting with children and families through technology. Of course, there are lots of small but possibly no less defining moments happening every day. And when we make decisions listening to the Spirit of God's prompting, we can respond in faith. In the Old Testament, there's the story of Naaman's servant girl in 2 Kings. The people of Israel had been taken into captivity, and this young girl had been put into the household of Naaman and was the servant girl to his wife. Naaman was a leader in the army of this country, and he had leprosy and had not been able to get any help with this crippling disease. But one day this young girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." And that was told to Naaman, and he told the king, and he was given permission to go and see the prophet, and you'll know the story that he followed his directions and his leprosy was cured. So just that small word from a small girl was able to turn someone's life around. And we never know how a seemingly small decision to act or speak can impact the future of someone through our word or through our encouragement. And chaplains often face these small but significant moments in their ministry, making on-the-spot decisions and responses to needs and opportunities, relying on the resources and guidance of the Holy Spirit. I often hear stories about how they have their day planned out and then something will come up and they'll need to make those instantaneous decisions about what do I prioritise, how do I speak into this situation. And the more we know and learn to trust God, the more we can recognise and respond to the voice of his Spirit. There are several examples in Acts where Paul and Silas were on their journeys and they wanted to go to a particular place, but the word tells us because the Holy Spirit prevented them, or again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there because God's plan was for them to minister in another place. And Galatians tells us, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So when we learn from these defining moments and we learn to trust the character and leading of God, we grow in our faith and we can move ahead in that trust. And the more we practice living in faith, the more we can reject that response of fear. So how will this COVID crisis be a defining moment for you and me? You know, at the end of last year, 88%, that's a really high percentage in research, that percentage surveyed said they were looking forward to closing the door on 2020 and starting again in 2021. I guess we didn't know this was going to drag on. But has this experience just been a waste of time? I hope not. You know, in McCrindle's investigation, people's negative responses far outweighed the positive. because of the impacts on our life and the things we like to do, like travel and celebrations. And there's been such an impact on our mental and physical health and our work and education. But a couple of the positive areas that people referred to were in family relationships. We know this is not the case for every family, but many families have enjoyed the time together. And also, interestingly, in spiritual insight. So they asked a question about, have you increased, your spiritual activities, and have you attempted prayer? And there was a really high response to people doing this more than they had in the past. So how can we build on this and help us point people to Jesus through these initial steps that they're making in this area of spirituality? How can we as churches and individuals help people on that faith journey, responding to their fears and encouraging their faith? And as I mentioned earlier, there were very definite generational differences in the way people responded to the pandemic. Here's a graphic that's not very clear, I apologise for that, but if you go on the Macrinda website, you can find it. But it shows the top emotions that were listed in their response to COVID. Things like being anxious, frustrated, scared, overwhelmed, confused and vulnerable. But only in the older age groups, that's people 55 and over, so those two groups on the right, the boomers and the builders, they were the only ones that expressed hopeful as one of their responses. Now, this may be because they've been through defining moments before, but whatever the reason, it's important that we assist young people who in those younger age groups did not express any hope at all, that we help them through this time and help them to see some positive outcomes. And the impact on Generation Alpha, which is the children born from 2010 onwards, is that they will be really impacted by this because it's hit them so young in their lives. There'll be a greater influence of technology, there'll be more flexible working conditions, changes in the way education is done. But that provides opportunities to develop resilience, but they will become more reserved about face-to-face interactions. So we need to consider this, and our chaplains are certainly speaking into this space as they are dealing with these younger children. And how can we speak into this personally and as a church community? It's obvious that chaplains are in a prime position to speak into this current generation of young people and help them work through these difficult times and learn to overcome their response of fear and become strong, resilient people able to move into a hopeful future. And there will be people within your church community and circle of influence that also need this encouragement and hope. Because as God's people, we have hope, don't we? And it's not because of the success of the restrictions or the vaccine, but because of our good God and all he has done and continues to do for us. And it's our responsibility to share this hope with our hurting communities. Psalm 78 tells us, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell them to the next generation. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. So each generation should set its hope anew on God. Isn't that what we want? Nobody gets to piggyback into heaven. We want every generation, every young person to put their faith in God and to know the hope that he brings. So let's look back on this last year and a half, not as a lost time, but as a defining moment when we have moved from a response of fear to a step of faith. Thank you.